Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I want to welcome all of you here, and want to welcome our listening audience today, wherever you may be in our listening audience. We welcome you, and we thank you for tuning in to our channel this morning, and we wish you a happy Sabbath. Today we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 29. And if you have your scriptures and it's possible for you, I'd invite you to follow along with me as we go through this text. And before I begin speaking about that, I'd like to invite you to pray with me, if you will, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and for your blessings. Today we pray that you'd send your Holy Spirit to guide us through this text, and that we could have the wisdom and understanding that we need to be able to hear your will, and we want your blessing in this, and so we're asking that you would guide us through our study. In Jesus' name, amen. There's about 25 million people in the country of Iraq, 25 million people there, and there's probably about 800,000 Christians that were in that country. But because of all of the persecution, there has been tens of thousands of Christians that have left as refugees out of that country, those that weren't slaughtered. And there's been a lot of persecution in that area. ISIS has created a real havoc among those who believe in God, in the Christian faith. And there has been a lot of Islamic extremists who believe that all Christians should be killed. And I know that persecution is not so rampant here in this country as it is in other parts of the world, but persecution is something that is going to happen even to those of us that are here in a safe, secure environment. It's coming. It's going to happen sometime. So if you look with me today in the scriptures, I believe that the theme of the preaching that we do from this desk should be about Jesus. Jesus Christ is to be uplifted. And if you listen to what Paul preaches in his letters to the churches, he is constantly lifting up Jesus. He's constantly preaching about Jesus. And he talks about the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ and what power that brings to those who belong to Jesus Christ. If you look in the book of Philippians, it's just a short little book, but there are 12 times that Paul uses the word rejoice. And all through his experience, no matter how difficult or how good it may be, he's always rejoicing in Christ. Always rejoicing. And so as we look at this text today, we're going to see how Paul looks at this idea of rejoicing. Now look with me in chapter 1 at verse number 12. It says, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Paul's assurance here is that his chains, his captivity, or his imprisonment have proved a blessing to many people who were around him and saw the way he looked. He rejoiced while he was in prison. How many of us could do that? How many of us could claim that we could rejoice because we have been persecuted for our faith? Thank you for that witness. It's a difficult thing, and it's really easy for us today, sitting in this comfortable location, to be able to think about how we would react when persecution actually comes to us. And yet, it's different when it actually happens. And Paul is able to rejoice through the situations that he faced in his life. Paul was patient, he was cheerful during that long, unjust imprisonment that he suffered through. He had courage, he had faith, and this was a continual sermon to the people who were around him as they watched the way he reacted. His spirit was so unlike the spirit that was around him in the world. It was different. People could see that. They sensed that there was something different about Paul and the way he related to the difficulties of his life. They could see that. He was an example. And the Christians that saw that, they were compelled, they were encouraged to go forth with more energy and zeal to give this gospel message to the world around them. And as we see things changing in our world today, friends, things are going to change rapidly here in these last days. Things are going to change, and it's going to be different than what we're comfortable with today. What will we be like? How will we act? Will we be like the Christians who had courage and strength in time of persecution? When we're confronted with those things that challenge our lifestyles, our families, our work habits, our life itself, what will we be like? Will we still have the energy and the boldness to stand up for Jesus? We saw out in Oregon where many people on the campus there that were killed were asked, "Are you a Christian?" They never, ever denied their faith in Christ, and yet they lost their life from some madman. There are people around the world who would stand up for Jesus. It has happened this way through history, that God's people have been fearless to stand up for what is right and to stand up for Jesus in face of all opposition. And God is calling for us in these days, these last days in which we live, to be accountable to God and to be a living witness to the world around us. Persecution has this character about it, is that it brings with it publicity. It increases the witness of the church members, and those who oppose stand out, but they still highlight Christ and his ministry. That it highlights Jesus and what he's done for everyone in dying on the cross to atone for the sins of the world. I want you to think about this. When Mrs. Davis down in Kentucky stood up in face of what the Supreme Court had decided, that a man could marry a man and a woman could marry a woman, when she stood up based on her faith alone and faced opposition from even the Supreme Court, she was able to stand strong for Jesus, and Jesus defended her. And that's what we have to keep in mind here, friends, is that when persecution comes, when opposition comes to our faith, we need to remember that it's not in our strength, but in the strength of Jesus that we endure. We should be encouraged with that, with knowing that there is hope. There is persecution coming. I want you to look with me in Acts chapter 26. When Paul was in prison, he was taken before Agrippa, and he was also shown before Festus. In Acts chapter 26, we're going to read there in verses 28 and 29. Acts chapter 26, verse 28 and 29. Beginning in verse number 28. It says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul," after Paul had witnessed to him, he said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God not only that thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these bonds." Praise the Lord. His witness was touching the heart of these men. He was speaking the truth of the gospel, and he was bringing home to them this boldness that he had in Christ to give them hope in Jesus Christ, and it was speaking to them. And so they sent Paul away for a convenient time, and we don't have any scripture record that they ever acknowledged that Christ would be their Savior. They had an opportunity. Paul was a witness even in bonds. Even when he was in prison, he witnessed for his faith. His persecution, I think, focuses on the world that Christ has given to us. Persecution has a way of highlighting who Jesus is. You look here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places." So as those in the palace where he was imprisoned saw how Paul was being treated, they were witnesses to what Paul's reactions were. And it was speaking a sermon to each one of them. It focused the attention on Jesus. We need to preach Jesus. Can you agree to that? And I know we oftentimes hear about all kinds of other things, philosophy and everything else you could think of. We need to preach on Jesus. This is what Paul preached on. This is what he believed in. This is what he taught to everyone. He was a bold witness for Jesus Christ, no matter what the situation, no matter where he went. The highest motive of Christian service is, I believe, can be found here in verses 20 and 21 of chapter 1. It says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, As always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And that should be the story of your life and mine today, friends. That for us to live is for Christ. That's what he's called us to be, is a bold witness for him, no matter what the situation. Living for Jesus, not for ourselves. And everything about Paul was centered in Jesus Christ and what he meant to him. His thoughts, his plans, his hopes, his desires. His thoughts were not earthly or selfish or self-centered. They were all about Jesus Christ and the hope that he had in his soon return. Where's your hope at today, friend? Where's your thoughts? On the money market that you own? The last channel you watched on TV? What you're going to do when you go home? Where's your thoughts at today? Is it on Jesus? Is it on his calling to you as his disciple? What are your thoughts today? Is it on Jesus? Does Jesus control your life? In verse number 20, it says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness. You see, there's no room here for being timid. Paul prayed for boldness. He prayed that his church would pray for him to be bold in giving this message in face of all opposition and persecution. He needed the boldness. That holy boldness can only come from God. He empowers us with his Holy Spirit to be bold enough to stand up and speak the truth for Jesus. And I know that there are a lot of people who believe that they have a silent witness, and that can be okay because people do need to see us. And that spoke a sermon to the people who watched Paul as he was imprisoned. But there also needs to go along with this silent witness, we need to be able to say something in defense of Jesus. We need to have the boldness to speak something for him. And those two need to be together. The witness needs to be consistent. Paul's expectation and desire that whatever may be the outcome of his imprisonment, he didn't really care. Because Christ, he knew, was going to be exalted either in his life or in his death. It didn't matter to him which way it went. He was ready to take either one. Why aren't we receiving persecution today? You see, the world needs to see this living demonstration of Jesus Christ. Why is it that we here in America are not receiving the persecution that happened to the early church? Why is it that we don't see the persecution happening here in America that happens somewhere else in the world today? Why is that? Is it because we're not lifting up Jesus like we should, either with word or actions? Is it because we look so much like the world that the world can't tell us apart? You be the judge of that. You make that decision in your own mind. Why is it that we don't receive persecution and opposition for things that we believe in? Have we not been speaking out for Jesus? Has our witness been so silent that people have not been able to see Jesus either in our life or hear him in our words? Why is it that we don't have that? I wonder what it is. You see, Jesus wants us to be accountable to him. And when we live for Jesus, persecution will follow that. Do you believe that? In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, it says, all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That has been the pattern since the New Testament church came into existence by Jesus. It began then and it will continue until the end of time. The devil is still alive, friends. You just look around at all of the disasters, all of the evil, all of the bad things that are happening in this world, and you know for sure that this great controversy is raging throughout the world. There is this controversy between good and evil, between Christ and Satan, that is going on all around us. Oftentimes it goes on in our own life, in our own hearts, deciding whether we will make the right decisions for Jesus or not. Persecution will come, and all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It will happen. It's already starting to take place in this country. What will we do when it comes home to us? How will we react when it comes to our house? I want you to follow with me in Matthew chapter 24 at verse 9. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 9. In Matthew chapter 24 at verse 9, it says, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and they shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." You see, there's coming a time that Jesus was talking about his disciples, and I hope that you consider yourself today as one of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Whoever you are, wherever you're listening, I hope that you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior. If you have not, I make an invitation to you in the name of Jesus today to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, to invite him into your life, confess your sins to him, and ask for his atoning sacrifice to cover your sins today and make you clean in him. Repent. Turn away from those things that separate you from God. And in Jesus Christ, be cleansed today. And be a true disciple of Jesus. There's coming a time when God's people will be afflicted. It has already been happening since the New Testament church came into existence. It's going to continue until Jesus comes back and he fixes everything that's gotten broken in this world, including us. We've been broken too. And we need Jesus today to help us through this broken world. And someday when Jesus comes back, which I think is soon, he's going to fix everything in this world that has gone wrong. He's going to fix every broken thing, including us. Praise God for that. In John chapter 16, listen to what Jesus was telling his disciples here. In John chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, Jesus said to them, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, and yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he's doing God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me." Persecution is coming because people who think they know God, really, in effect, when you see what they're doing to other people who claim to be children of God, it is a reality that they do not know the Father and they do not know his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus was telling his disciples, this time is coming. And because you're going to stand up with boldness and speak the gospel truth, they're not going to accept it because they will not let go of their church tradition. And there are many people who hear the truth, who read the Word of God, and they will not let go of their own personal tradition so that they can follow the truth that God reveals to them. I want to appeal to you today. No matter who you are, no matter what your tradition has been, that you would follow Jesus with all of your heart, that you would worship him in truth and in spirit, and that you would be willing to sacrifice anything to be a disciple of Jesus. Persecution will come to God's people. How will we react when it comes to us? Paul's chief concern for the church was faithfulness in the face of persecution. Look with me here in Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 27. He says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." There's this need for us to be faithful in the face of all of the opposition that comes to us from the devil. It's possible for us to be strong when we pray to Jesus and ask for his strength. It's possible for us to be victorious and overcomers in the strength of Jesus. There's a need for steadfastness. In verse number 28, "And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God." In 1 John chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. If you can turn there with me, 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse number 18. I bring this text to you because sometimes we think we're in a safe environment and I don't fear anything. Nobody could touch me or do anything to me. But you know, it's a different story when real persecution really comes. How will we react to that? Listen to this. In verse 18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. I think it's a natural reaction to things that we can't control, to be fearful of it. Things that threaten us, that threaten our family, our well-being. It's natural for us to fear, but the scripture is telling us that when we are perfect in Jesus Christ, we don't have anything to fear because Jesus is our defender. He stands up for us. He gives us his protection, his strength. And like Paul, whether we live or whether we die, we still need to be in Christ, because that is a witness to the world about Jesus. We need to be able to endure suffering. In verse 29, it says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. That's what we've been called to do, to be a witness and to be bold enough to stand up in face of opposition and persecution, to give a truthful witness about Jesus Christ in our life, not only in what we say, but in how we live our life. There needs to be endurance during this, and that's what Paul taught. That's what Paul exhibited to the people around him. To suffer for Jesus Christ is an honor bestowed on us, his true disciples, who really, truly believe in him. Opposition is coming. Difficult times are going to happen. Maybe it's happening to you right now in your home. You can endure it. You can still be a witness in the face of opposition, even in your own home. Live your life for Jesus. Rely upon his strength and his grace. We need to conduct ourselves in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look with me, if you will, in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse number 10. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 10, it says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. There's that word that Paul uses 12 times in the book of Philippians. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which are before you. So there's no new thing that's going to happen. The persecution that's taking place today, that will happen until the end of time, this is not new. Our forefathers all experienced that same thing. Persecution has been happening since the New Testament church began. It has happened to the prophets in the past. It has happened to church leaders down through the centuries, and all those who would stand up for Jesus have been persecuted. We need to conduct ourselves in a manner that is worthy of Jesus Christ, worthy to be called disciples of Jesus. Look with me now back in Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse number 15 and onward. It says, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. And then one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, will rejoice. You see, Paul is saying here that no matter what happens, no matter if the people who are persecuting me, opposing my message, no matter what, Jesus is lifted up, and people see Jesus. You look down through the centuries. That 1,260 years of persecution that started in 538 A.D. and ended in 1798 A.D., that 1,260 years of persecution, there was many of God's martyrs who stood up for what was right. And every time one of them died, it was seed for the church. More people heard about Jesus. They saw the witness and the testimony of the disciples of Christ, and many of them came to Jesus and had faith in him. And Paul was saying, no matter if they do it out of truth or they're trying to hurt me, Jesus is still glorified. Jesus is still lifted up. So let's rejoice as this everlasting gospel advances towards the kingdom of God. that we would be found worthy to suffer for Jesus, as many of his faithful people have lived for him down through the centuries. We want the whole world to be able to see Jesus, not just on a big telescreen, but to be able to see Jesus in our hearts, being lived out in our personal lives. We want to be able to tell people about Jesus. And I challenge you, I encourage you, I invite you today. Will you join me in giving a faithful, consistent witness for Jesus? Living for Christ, conducting ourselves before the world so that they can see the manner of worthiness of the gospel, that they can trust Jesus, and that they will come to him without fear. Won't you trust him enough today to be a consistent witness for him? Let's rejoice as we stand up for Jesus. Even if we have opposition and persecution, let's rejoice in what Jesus offers to each one of us. In Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse number 32, I would invite you to turn with me today in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 32 and 33. It says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Stand up for Jesus, friends. Give a consistent witness at home, in the community, wherever you go. Be consistent in how you live your life. Be consistent so that what you say is consistent with how you live. Let it be a faithful, bold witness for Jesus Christ. Listen to what Paul had to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 at verse number 2. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, this is the premise that Paul lived on. "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." May we be able to give a bold witness for Jesus with that same thought. Will you pray with me today? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and the privilege that you give us to be a disciple of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, for your grace to empower each one of us to live for you and to give a bold witness to the world around us. Give us the words to be able to speak in times when we're challenged. And I pray, Lord, that we would have endurance and faithfulness and steadfastness and hope in the glorious return of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for your blessing for each one today, that we would not only give a witness, but we would be encouraged by your Spirit being with us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.